Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke. When we last had the Jason Seed Stringtet in the studio, the group had just released its first album, The Escapist. Last week, their sophomore effort, In the Gallery, was released. Much like the first album, this one blurs the lines between genres and incorporates jazz, folk, and classical elements all within a classical composition structure. The group will play a CD release party tomorrow evening at Sugar Maple in Bayview. They didn't bring their instruments along, but Seed bassist Dan Armstrong and violist Helen Reich joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the studio, and Jason Seed talked about his inspirations for this latest album.
I write pretty compulsively, so I throw out at least 90% of the stuff that I write. So this is the good bits, the good stuff. But as far as any kind of distinct overall plan, I guess there really isn't much, you know. It's a lot of scattered ideas that seem to fit together well, I think.
I think they do melodically. I mean, to me, as I was listening through the whole album, things hang together, even if they're not like one movement to another movement to another movement.
Oh,
it's still, they still fit together.
Yeah. And in this, I kind of, there's a lot of utilization of song form type structure to a lot of the pieces, which I think lends itself to a certain kind of accessibility to people, you know, in a certain sense. A lot of it, you could actually, you know, think of just having verse and chorus type orientations here and there, you know, usually with something kind of plopped in the middle.
I find it's interesting you're asking Jason about his compositional, what motivates him and everything, and we have a hard enough time getting that out of him, too. He doesn't tend to write even as much as Allegro Vivace above the parts. It's basically up to us to figure out where the tune is going.
So in some ways, you as the Stringtet are co-composers.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way.
In a way, yes, definitely. Yeah. As far as dynamics, as far as where do the phrases go, articulation as well. And we might change from one rehearsal to the next, our idea of how we want what we want the piece to be like. So, yeah, we in a way are co-composers, yes.
I think it lends itself to a real organic development process as well. We work through something, get to the point where everybody has put in some opinion in one way or another, and everybody kind of reaches some type of democratic comfort level or something.
Some sort of conclusion that everybody's happy with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
so for Dan and Helen, working on this new album and these new pieces, was it different for you from the last one? I mean, musically, did you find anything different?
Well, I love both albums, really. And no, I would have to say no. Really, you know, actually some of these pieces are old. Caterpillar Keef, for instance, that one has been around for a long time. Jason, when did you compose that?
Oh, geez. A long time ago.
Long time.
7 years ago or something.
Okay.
But
yeah.
It's kind of like there's a piece called Krakow, too, that, you know, these have gone through extensive revisions. Krakow used to be really brief. I mean, I wrote at the beginning of the theme on a train leaving that city in Poland. And you know, since then it's gone through. I would jokingly, you know, bring in pieces that would say Krakow 2.0, Krakow full bore, Krakow I swear it's almost done, Krakow I have no idea what we're doing now, you know. So yeah. Which version this is, I don't even know.
Right. And some of them were newer, though. Ishtar is a pretty new tune.
Yeah.
Oh, some of them were written practically yesterday. There's one piece that's just a guitar and cello piece
in the right light and
that one just got written, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a beautiful piece too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what was on. Yeah.
Oh, so yes, we should mention that you've made the ATC bumper music file.
Right.
Which is for, you know, anyone who's listened to All Things Considered or Morning Edition for that matter, there's always that little snippet of music at the end of a segment before they hit the underwriting credit. And that's to basically fill time, you know, or to set a mood or something like that. And sometimes it can be as much as 15 or 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Usually it's more about five.
Yeah.
So how much did you get?
15 or
30
20.
Seconds.
30 seconds?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I guess. Which for that segment, I guess, is kind of epic.
Yeah, you know? It really is. Has anyone like phoned up and said, who was that?
I don't know.
That we don't know.
I certainly hope so.
That we don't know.
You mentioned Ishtar, and that's the bass piece, isn't it?
No,
which one's the bass
in the gallery? Well, actually, no, Ishtar has an extended bass solo
intro,
at the beginning.
Yeah. Right, yes, it does. Because I was listening to that going, now that's interesting.
Yeah. Good.
So what was that like to work on?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And I find every time I play it, I find something new to do to it or do with it. You know, and that's one of the problems with recording in a way is that there it is. And then the next day you find, oh, I can do this with it too, you know. And then after that, the piece actually has a fairly driving bass line too.
And the bass solo is like a real cadenza in a classical music piece. It's a real cadenza. It uses parts of the piece. It takes thematic material from the main part of the piece and puts it into the solo bass. So I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me. You never realized that? Absolutely it does.
So this was written out, though. This is not something that was improv.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing that I liked about it is that it sounded improv.
Right.
You know, and I know that's key for what you do, Jason, because this all sounds like, yeah, you have basically a melody, but you're all sitting down and you're just kind of like jamming on it and figuring it out. And I know it's far more rehearsed than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all written out. I mean, there are little segments of improvisation here and there, but like the backgrounds for the improvisations are written out. And I guess the main improvisation parts are Glenn and I, so the violin and the guitar.
Because, you know, I know, Helen, you're primarily a classical player.
Yeah.
And Dan, are you as well? Or do you also do, like, more jazz bass and that sort of thing?
Primarily classical. I find it kind of hard to – it's pretty hard to do both physically as much as anything. To do a lot of jazz would be pretty taxing. And I'd have a hard time keeping up with the classical sound that I have to
– to do and
to
produce.
Do.
Yeah. But I would think that playing music like this that Jason writes gives you an opportunity to kind of play in that pool a little bit without having to become jazz players.
Exactly.
Yes, that's right.
I feel like I can pretend.
You know?
I think I can have a jazz feel without being a full-fledged jazz player who can just read chords and improvise on them without thinking.
There is something great about the way you do this, Jason, because I always, whenever I hear your music, I think, oh, well, this is jazz. No, wait, it's classical. No, wait, it's this. It's, you know, and you kind of move between all those genres very, very neatly, it seems.
Thank you.
You know, or maybe there's just no lines. It's sort of those, they become amorphous and it just kind of,
That's how it is for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things are just, I mean, from a compositional point of view, all these different genres, you can consider them colors or something. You can consider them like, if you have an idea and you put it in a specific genre, it's kind of like similar to if you have a specific melodic idea and you put it in a certain harmonic context, you know? So having ideas and having them develop, for me, I just try to let them go wherever they themselves want to go. And I try to stay out of the way as much as possible, in a sense.
I think it seems to me that you can channel certain aspects of various types of music without having to be an expert on, you know, Bulgarian music or you know, Cajun zydeco or whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear something in those and then write your own thing. And I think that's what Jason does. And I think it's a kind of a very intellectually honest thing to do. You know, you're just writing your own thing based on what you've heard and what you've been influenced by.
Well, I was going to say composers from time immemorial have done that. I mean, how many times did Mozart borrow from folk tunes, you know, Bartok writing, you know, Hungarian things, but they weren't Hungarian dances. They were his, you know.
Or how much did Mozart really know about Turkish music when he wrote the Turkish Rondo?
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
But like you say, it influences whatever you do.
Yeah.
And then it becomes your own.
Yeah, so. And I like the idea of staying where all the kind of edges of those things meet, which is kind of where the title Where the Corners Meet came from, is just having things be whatever they are in their own area. So it's not, you know, when people say, is this jazz or is this classical or is this this, I just kind of say, well, yeah, sure.
It is. Well, I wish you the best of luck with the CD. It is called In the Gallery. It is the Jason Seed Stringtet. We've had Helen, Dan, and Jason here today, and I can't wait to hear you at Sugar Maple. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Thank you,
Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Composer and guitarist Jason Seed spoke with Bonnie North, along with violist Helen Reich and bassist Dan Armstrong. They, along with violinist Glenn Ash and cellist Scott Tisdell, make up the Jason Seed Stringtet. Their latest album is called In the Gallery, and they'll play a CD release show tomorrow night at Sugar Maple in Bayview. There's more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. The Jason Seed Stringtet takes us out this morning. I'm Mitch Tyke. It was great to have you with us today. You'll find us here every weekday morning at 10 and weekend afternoons at 3. Join us again tomorrow when we'll explore the financial fortunes of Harley Davidson as the iconic Milwaukee motorcycle manufacturer prepares to celebrate its 110th anniversary next month. Thanks again for tuning in today. Stay tuned for Fresh Air on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock.